My guest at this time is Nebraska Republican Congressman Lee Terry. He is also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He joins us now to react to the Obama administration once again, saying it is not ready to say yes or no to the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, which would provide a more direct route for that oil coming from Canada on its way down for refining at the Texas Gulf Coast. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on again and again and again after each delay.
Well, what do you make of the rationale this time? There's a couple different reasons which we'll get into in a minute, but let me start with your general reaction. Why do you think the administration is still not ready to say yes or no here?
Well, because the green organizations, the hardcore greens, came out a couple months ago after the final environmental impact study was ruled as a final study by the State Department. They held a press conference saying, we will boycott the 2014 elections if the president signs this. The president, I think, knows his brain is telling him that it has to be signed. There's just no good reason to deny the permit except for the political pressures that are on him from his far left. So they found another creative, meaningless way to just delay signing that permit until after the elections.
Now, one of the things the administration cited, and we reported on this as well, is that a judge in Nebraska, even though the State Department gave clearance to the route of the pipeline, declared that it was not proper. And so the administration is saying that because of that court ruling, this is still up in the air, and so they can't really make a final decision until that's resolved. Where do you stand on the ruling and whether that's a valid excuse or not?
That is an invalid excuse. There's just no basis to delay the pipeline because of that. First of all, that decision is so faulty that it was immediately stayed by law. And secondly, the pipeline to go ahead and start construction in Montana, South Dakota, before they resolve these issues. The court case that, again, is on appeal and has already been stayed, would not interfere with the construction of the pipeline. So it's really a faux reason. So you have to fall back on what I think it is, and it's all politics.
And so their contention that there's unprecedented public comment on this policy, and they have to have time to review those comments, I'm guessing that's also not passing the smell test with you.
No, it doesn't pass the smell test because they have had so many comment periods already, and they've had the last one, which ran for 90 full days when it didn't have to. The legal standard was 30 days, or you can go up to 90 days. And most of them are computer-generated and say the same thing. So we get those type of comments in our offices all the time, and they sit there and say, this verbiage was sent by, you know, 100 people, or for them, maybe 2,000 people. There's no reason to not sign the permit today.
Now, if assuming that this doesn't happen, and at this point it looks like it won't, before the midterm elections, do you think the president, since he has no more elections to deal with until a second term is over, that he'll finally let us know what he really believes on this, that he'll finally go with, as you say, his head, or go with the environmental groups, or do you think he'll just let this stall on out till after he leaves office?
Well, that's a really good question, and the answer is I truly don't know. I don't know how to figure this president out, especially on issues like this. I think in his heart he would like to veto it or not sign it or deny it, but he also knows that there really isn't a good reason to kill it, and he should sign it. I mean, when their own environmental studies, all of them, came out and said that it would actually reduce carbon emissions in total by using a pipeline instead of hauling it on rail or trucks. And I would think the environmentalists would want it, but they won't, and I don't think the president wants to sign it either, but who knows?
The president has, I believe, 11 Senate Democrats now who are desperately urging him to approve this. There are also a number of organized labor unions who are urging him to do this. So just how much pull does the, as you say, the radical environmental lobby have when the president won't even listen to those other interests, which are obviously pretty powerful in the Democratic Party.
Well, I think there is enough support in the U.S. Senate. There's enough reasonable Democrats, more than 11 that signed on that letter, by the way, that I think they could easily get over 60 votes and probably even an override if necessary. Now, the issue with the unions is unique because it's the trade unions that will go to work at good middle wage, middle class wages. But those are the ones that the president's throwing under the bus, a bus probably driven by a Teamster who would actually benefit from this project. But the reality is the major political unions today, the SEIU, the government employees, they're standing with the green organizations opposing this pipeline. And, of course, then you've got a billionaire that said there he's going to put over $100 million into Democrat elections if they oppose this. So he supports the president on killing the pipeline. So there's a lot on the against side, union and donors to the president, that would like to see it killed.
Two quick questions before we let you go, sir. First of all, how much longer is TransCanada and the Canadian government willing to wait for an answer, do you think?
Well, I had a conversation just a few weeks ago with the ambassador from Canada, and he said they're already going forward with the pipeline to the east, and that the right-of-way is already all reserved now for a pipeline from Alberta to the west coast, and there's probably going to be two to the west coast. So Canada's already implementing Plan B as we speak. The issue is whether or not the United States is going to ever adopt the TransCanada pipeline, the Keystone XL, so that it goes to our refineries and creates job and prosperity along the route.
In addition to Keystone, of course, sir, you've got the fracking boom that's going on in the Dakotas as well as a few other spots around the country. And many suggest there are other massive shale oil reserves around the country. Do you get the sense that the president is approaching those the same way, or does he have a special skepticism towards Keystone, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. When you peel back some of the layers on the drilling, and the president does say that there's more being drilled today than any other administration in recent history, and that's actually true. Except you need to go down to the fact that the Bakken fields in western North Dakota and in Pennsylvania are on private land, so the president can't say to his agencies, stop the drilling. But he has on federal lands where a lot of this natural gas and oil sits. The number of barrels per day is actually at one of the lowest in the last 20 to 30 years. So the president has been consistent with his opposition of the Keystone Pipeline, or at least seemingly opposing it to me, because in the areas that they can control, they've actually reduced production.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. We'll check in with you if and when there is a decision on this. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Nebraska Republican Congressman Lee Terry represents his state's 2nd Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.